Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and a welcome to you, wherever you are listening from, and whatever your church connection, and whether you have a church connection or not. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and we welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace here on CJMQ, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec. We gather for in-person worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke. If you can't join us in person, then you can watch our live stream on either our YouTube channel or our Facebook page. This past week, I was at the Uplands Museum in Lennoxville for the annual general meeting of the Lennoxville Ascot Historical and Museum Society. I met some good civic-minded people who cared much about the history and heritage of their community and had many a story to tell. We'd gathered in the Uplands Museum on Speed Street and afterwards had some lovely hospitality. Why am I telling you this? Well, I'll come back to it a little later in the reflection. But first, here are some words from the psalmist. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Our opening praise.
Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. The rains do fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where His sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, even so plain. morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the springing fresh from.
Let us pray. Holy One, we rejoice in your presence. We acknowledge that you have indeed done great things for us in our history, in our present, and will do in our future. Our hope rests in you. We rejoice in confidence that you abide both in our dry spaces and in our flowing streams. Lead us through troubling times and empower us to continue to press towards you and your ways. In our worship, part our lips in praise, open our hearts in love, and quench our spirits in worship. Your Son, Jesus Christ, honoured outpoured devotion, but was betrayed and killed by those who profit from corruption. You raised him to life and called us to leave the past and to look to the new wonders you are doing. And yet, Lord, we often turn to the gazes of others to see ourselves. We yield to the temptation of comparison, and measure ourselves according to the standards not made for us. The God of grace sees us fully, knows us fully, and loves us fully. May our eyes ever be open to see ourselves as God sees us, and restore our souls. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven, and set free by God's generous grace. Amen. A reading from John's Gospel, Chapter 12, at verse 1. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had been raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who will betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus.
I see.
So there I was, walking up to the Uplands Museum in the middle of Lennoxville. I'd been outside through the grounds once before, but I'd never been in the front of the building. And on a frosty evening, I pushed the door open, and that's when it hit me. Yes, it was warm and the moist air steamed up my glasses, but what was most noticeable for me was the aroma. It was the powerful scent of a museum. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to describe. Oh, don't worry, it wasn't dirty or musty or damp or moldy or anything like that. It's just that it smelt like old things. Like so many historical places that I've been in my life. I promise you, Uplands is well maintained and cleaned, so whether it's just the furniture polish that's used, or just the aging of the wooden floorboards, or the oils in the furniture, or the dyes in the textile fabrics, or what it is, I don't know. But there was a distinct aroma in the air that just said, museum. Scientists say that while words go to the thinking part of the brain, smells, fragrances, aromas go to the emotional part, the amygdala. And that's why maybe a whiff of grandma's perfume brings grandma herself back for a brief moment. And for some, why a bit of incense or candle wax is the smell of the presence of God. We might say that this passage from John's Gospel is a fragrant text. Jesus' friend Mary takes a box of very expensive perfume, and with it she bathes the feet of Jesus. And she wipes the perfume into his feet with her long flowing hair. It's an amazing scene. It takes place in the home of the three siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who are perhaps Jesus' closest friends outside of his travelling group of disciples. Their home seems to have been somewhere that Jesus often liked to go to when he needed some time out to put his feet up and relax with good friends. Lazarus, of course, featured prominently in the previous chapter of John's Gospel when he had died and was buried in a tomb, and then Jesus had called him forth. But he's feeling a lot better now. Mary and Martha both featured in that story too, including a reference to Mary falling down at Jesus' feet, an action that becomes rather more central in this story. But of course, we've met Mary and Martha in another story too. And once again, Martha is doing all the work of serving dinner while Mary is monopolizing Jesus' attention instead of helping with the meal. Judas asks why the money couldn't have been given to the poor. But why shouldn't she pour it out at the feet of Jesus? Why shouldn't she? She has just had her brother restored to life. He who was dead has been given back to them in life. And when the grave had swallowed Lazarus up, Jesus called forth Lazarus by name, and he was raised back to life. Wouldn't you be glad and grateful? Wouldn't you not open up the best that you had? And so, of course, she poured out love and devotion to him. But there's a flip side. Just as she poured out love and devotion, so others were pouring out jealousy and hatred. And as we open chapter 12, Jesus has a price on his head, and the big discussion around the city is, where is he and when's he coming to the Passover celebration? No one thought he would come. They assumed this because his showing up would mean the certainty of his arrest and execution. Meanwhile, a large crowd of the Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. Where is this going to end? Let's get rid of the criminal Jesus and then the evidence, namely Lazarus. And yet here is Mary. I wonder if Mary knew that Jesus was about to die. I wonder if she sensed that events were poised for some horrendous cataclysmic end. It was perhaps only days away. It seems that perhaps Mary was the only one who understood. There were two outpourings of love in this passage. One outpouring is Mary's very expensive perfume. And the other outpouring of love is Jesus' outpouring of his life on the cross to come. Mary pours out the expensive perfume, understanding that the precious blood of Jesus will be poured out for her forgiveness. She breaks the flask above his head, knowing that it will soon be pierced by thorns, comprehending his body will be broken in the stead of sinners. Even so, she's not only scoffed at, but scolded for her actions. Mary emptied the alabaster jar. Jesus emptied his life for us. And yet there's a third outpouring of love. And that is our love. Charles Spurgeon noted, when you do the best you can do, from the purest of motives, and your Lord accepts your service, do not expect that your brothers and sisters will approve all your actions. If you do, you will be greatly disappointed. A life poured out for Christ seems like the biggest waste in the world to those who do not know him. The world scoffed and still scoffs at the blood of Christ poured out at the cross. How much more will they ridicule his followers for pouring out their lives for him? How extravagant is your love? Is it extravagant at all? Or do you simply go through the motions? You sing the hymns, you utter the prayers, you listen to the preacher. But then do you love others in the way that Jesus loved, as much as you love yourself? Do you make a place for the outcast, the rejected, the oppressed, the homeless, the victimized, the marginalized, the ones whom Jesus loves? Love expressed is not sufficient. It's not good enough to say, I love you, by singing hymns and attending church. As good as those things are, love expressed is not sufficient. It has to be heard to have any meaning. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand, and hold you in the palm of my hand.
Let us pray. Gracious God, even as Mary poured out her love for Jesus, he was preparing to pour out his life on the cross for her and for us all. We are grateful for such love, given and received and then given again. Help us respond in giving the gift and the gifts of our lives. We come to you in prayer, trusting that you are with us in the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows of these challenging days. We give you thanks for every sign of your presence with us, for every unexpected kindness, every word of comfort or encouragement, every sign of courage in the face of injustice, every hopeful step towards reconciliation amid conflict, and healing in the face of disease or danger. Thank you for your presence with us in all things. In this unpredictable world, we pray for those whose lives are caught up in reckless terror or planned oppression, for those living in places where they are afraid to walk freely. We remember all who find the uncertainty of our times overwhelming and discouraging. As the stories of Jesus turn us towards the cross, O God, we pray for those who also walk the road of suffering. We remember before you those whose lives have been plunged into sorrow or despair through tragic death, critical illness, or chronic pain, and through complicated problems that seem to have no end. May all these know your comfort and compassion. Lord, the stories of Jesus show us that he faced the clamour of many demands and the pressure of many critics. We pray for all those who are exhausted in these days, juggling more demands and fewer resources in their work or at home, for those who cannot seem to get it right, whatever they do, and for all those facing unfair criticism and expectations and the responsibilities they bear on behalf of others. May all these be strengthened by your spirit of justice and mercy. And we name before you those places in the world and those people in the world most near and dear to us who need a special measure, a special outpouring of your grace in these days. For Ukraine and Russia, for refugees on the roads, for all who seek a future out of conflict. Lord, we need the embrace of your presence, each in our own way. Anoint us with your spirit of healing and hope, and bring peace to our lives and this world you love, for the sake of Christ Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.